Thank you, Claude. It's a pleasure to be here. And I will give you a talk, which is mainly a talk for physicists, but I think mathematicians can appreciate perhaps also the concept that I will show. I use the sentence multi-wave imaging, and I will show that it can be applied to measure elastic property of tissue. But what is important for me is that there is this concept of multi-wave imaging. I have seen that people here speak of hybrid imaging or hybrid methods, and I think multi-wave is a better wording, and I will explain why. Let us come to a very basic problem, breast cancer detection, and people can use, for example, one kind of wave, ultrasound, to make image of breast, and they try to decide when they found something which is wrong in this free image, you have something wrong in this different position. No, it's better, or it's perhaps not very good. Okay, forgive that. In this free image, in fact, you see something very similar, but one of this image is malignant and two other are bedding. This means that really you have not a lot of specificity when you use one kind of wave like ultrasound. You are good sensitivity, but no specificity. And this is a huge problem in medical diagnosis, and everybody knows this problem. How to improve specificity? Engineers propose to physicians to have new apparatus that they call multimodality techniques, where they propose to the doctor superposition of two different images. One, for example, can be morphological image, one can be metabolic image. And you get now many systems to improve specificity that combine, for example, a PET scanner and a CT scan, a PET and MR. And with this, you can really improve strongly specificity of diagnosis. Of course, this is interesting, but this costs a lot because you need to combine two kinds of image that you superimpose in some way. When you do multimodality, it is not multi-wave. When you do multimodality, what you are doing is, in fact, a superposition of two images, each obtained with a single wave. When you use the single wave that you send in the body, a single wave that propagates in the body is sensitive to a given contrast. For example, if you send ultrasound in the body, you are sensitive to bulk compressibility modulus. If you send optical wave in the body, you can feel the electric permittivity or optical absorption at one wavelength. If you send sonic shear wave, the wave feels another contrast, which is the shear modulus and the shear viscosity, which is what the doctor sends when he is making palpation. If you send low-frequency electromagnetic wave, the contrast will be electrical impedance or conductivity. X-ray will give you information on density, gamma ray on radio tracer distribution. Each kind of wave gives you a given contrast. Did the contrast you have is interesting for the doctor? Not always, and we will discuss of this. Now, when you send one single wave, you have not only a given contrast, but you have also spatial resolution. Spatial resolution of your image depends on wave physics laws and sensor technology. And you know that spatial resolution is very important. It tells you what is the minimum distance between two heterogeneity that you can detect when you make an image. What is spatial resolution when you send a wave in the body? Now you have always a contrast and spatial resolution. What is spatial resolution when you use only one kind of wave to make an image? Spatial resolution, I'll call this delta, is related to three scale, three distance. One is called the observation depth. At what depth you are looking to a tissue. The other one, because you have a wave, is what is the wavelength in the medium. And there is a third distance which is very important. It's called the transport mean free path. You have always, when you send a wave in the body, to compare this free distance. What mean transport mean free path? When you send a wave in a strongly heterogeneous medium, where waves propagate through multiple scattering, waves lost their coherence on a distance that is called the transport mean free path. It's L star. The concept of wave losing its coherence is a very important concept to understand multi-wave, the interest of multi-wave imaging. Transport mean free path is related to after how many scattering events the wave has lost its coherence. You have to look what is the, in all tissue, whatever is the wave you send, the transport mean free path is higher than the wavelength. For example, you can send light in the body, and after less than 1 millimeter, you have in a completely diffusive regime where light lost coherence. Now, what is important is the following. If you send optical wave in tissue, the transport mean free path is less than 1 millimeter. But if you send ultrasound in tissue, ultrasound lost their coherence very slowly. You can send ultrasound that remain coherent on a transport mean free path which is bigger than 1 meter. If you send low frequency electromagnetic wave, it's the same. The transport mean free path is huge compared to the size of the body. You have these three different values, very different between optics, ultrasound, and electromagnetic wave. Now, what is the spatial resolution in each experiment that you do when you send wave? There are, in fact, three different regimes. One regime is the following. You work with an observation distance Z smaller than the wavelength, which is also smaller than the mean free path. This is called the near-field imaging regime. In this case, this is the case of electrical impedance tomography, of all techniques like EEG, MEG, and this is what is called near-field optics. In all these cases, you are observing with some wavelength, something which is at a distance smaller than the wavelength, and typically here you see one of your colleagues surrounded by electrodes, which is playing electrical impedance tomography. And when you try to make an image in the near field regime, for example, of electrical conductivity, you obtain this kind of image. And if you look, what is the spatial resolution here? The spatial resolution is always of the order of the distance where you are looking the organs. For near field imaging, spatial resolution is of the order of Z, the distance. Now, let us look at another regime, what I call the coherent regime, coherent wave propagation. You have wavelength, you observe tissue which are at a distance much larger than the wavelength, but at a distance which is smaller than the transport mean free path. This is the regime of ultrasound. You send ultrasound, they propagate on centimeter without losing their coherence, and you are observing something which is at some wavelength. This is also the regime in optics of optical coherent tomography, and of course, this is the regime of X-ray diffraction or CT. This regime, waves remain coherent when they propagate, and typically you obtain this kind of ultrasonic image where you see each vertebra on the spine. And if you look, what is the spatial resolution? Now, spatial resolution depends only of wavelength. If you have a small wavelength, if you are in coherent regime, this will be your spatial resolution. Now there is a third regime, diffusive regime. You are looking to something which is at a distance which is bigger than the transport mean free path. Typically in optics, it is the regime of deep optical tomography. You send light inside the body and you look something which propagate on a very long distance compared to the transport mean free path, and light lose completely its coherence. And when you are making any kind of inversion algorithm, when you look at the spatial resolution of your image, spatial resolution is again proportional to Z. There is only in the coherent wave propagation regime that spatial resolution depends on wavelength. In the two other regimes, spatial resolution is typically Z, the distance. Now, as you see, ultrasound, this is to make some advertising for ultrasound. Ultrasound is the best for spatial resolution because it allows you to have a good resolution which depends on the wavelength, which can be sub-millimeter wavelength. But it is not all to have a good spatial resolution. You have to give also to the doctor a nice contrast. And ultrasound gives a very poor contrast, but it gives a beautiful spatial resolution. Now, multi-wave imaging. What is this concept? This is a physicist approach you use to make your image two kinds of wave. Instead of doing multimodality, where you superimpose two images, now you do something different. You send one wave, which has a poor spatial resolution, but that gives you a very interesting contrast. And you send a second wave at the same time that has an excellent spatial resolution, but a poor contrast. And if you found a way to combine, by some interaction, these two waves, you want to obtain an image that has the very interesting contrast, but with the excellent spatial resolution. This is very nonlinear in some way. It is not superimposition of two images. It is a new image that has the spatial resolution of one wave with the contrast of the other wave. How can you, and for example, wave two can be ultrasound, which give a very poor contrast, but an excellent spatial resolution because it remains coherent. Now, how can you play multi-wave imaging? There are, in fact, physicists that have looked at this problem. They found three potential interactions between different waves that can give you multi-wave imaging. One technique is to send the first wave in the body, and the interaction of this wave with tissue generates a second kind of wave. This is one technique that you have listened to the talk of Li Wang Wang. Photoacoustic is typically this kind of things. You send, for example, light inside the body. Light is propagating in the body in a diffusive regime, but somewhere, if you send a short pulse of light, if there is some place where there is a strong absorption of light, here you will have some temperature elevation with some thermal expansion. It gives you sound. You have transform one wave in another wave. You transform light, which is diffusive propagation, in something which is coherent, ultrasound. Thermoacoustic imaging is the same kind, except you don't send light in the body, you send microwave. And where there is some electrical conductivity which changes strongly, you can have a local absorption because of Joule effect, and you will have an expansion that sends also sound or ultrasound. This is the first way to play multi-wave. Now there is a second way. You send the first wave in a medium, but this wave will be tagged locally by a second kind of wave. This is the so-called acousto-optical imaging or electrical impedance imaging modulated by ultrasound. And the idea is the following. You send an ultrasonic beam very locally that focuses somewhere. At this position, there will be a density variation at the frequency of ultrasound. Now you send light in this medium. Light is propagating. And because locally there is an index of refraction that is modulated by ultrasound, when light is coming out from this point, light will have a modulation at the ultrasonic frequency. And if you make demodulation, you can have an information on what happened here. This is acousto-optical imaging. You can also play with electrical impedance and you modulate the conductivity by ultrasound. This is a second kind of multi-wave imaging. Now there is a third wave to play multi-wave. You send in the body two kinds of wave, but one wave travels much faster than the second one. And if you can use one wave to make a movie of a second wave, you make a movie of a slow wave that propagates in the medium. But you make the movie with the spatial resolution of a first wave that can go very fast. And if you make this movie, this is the domain of transient elastography, or what people are calling shear wave imaging. And here, for example, you obtain something very interesting. You can obtain a movie in two-dimension or three-dimension of the slow wave everywhere inside the body by using the faster wave. And when you have access to this kind of movie of a wave everywhere in the body, you have access to something which is quite interesting, because you have access in this movie to the observation of the near field of the slow wave inside the body. And when you see the near field close to any heterogeneity, you can do super resolution. And we will discuss this later. Now, I come back to something that you have seen in the talk of different talk that you have on photoacoustic. Photoacoustic, you send laser pulse, this is the first technique, short laser pulse. You have different zones where there is optical absorption, and at this position, there will be noise which is created by thermal expansion. And noise, you will record this with ultrasonic detectors, and because ultrasound propagates in a coherent way, you can make an image which will have the spatial resolution of ultrasound, which depends directly from the ultrasonic wavelength that you send. But the contrast you will see will be an optical contrast, and this is a nice mixture, and this gives you this beautiful image that you have seen in photoacoustic of a vascularization of a melanoma on small animals. You have the spatial resolution of ultrasound with the contrast of optics. I will not come back on this because you get many talks on this. Now there is another technique, the second technique, tagging a wave by another wave. You can tag an optical field created by a laser, for example, by ultrasound, like I explained. And if you send a focus ultrasonic beam, which can be very well collimated in small zone, light which propagates with some optical frequency, when it goes through this medium, ultrasound will induce displacement and modulation of refractive index. And when you look the speckle of the light that come out of this medium, the optical speckle, in fact, contain not only light at the frequency of light, but light at the frequency of light plus the frequency of ultrasound and minus the frequency of ultrasound. And if you do a good demodulation, you can obtain an information on the light, the photons that are going through this spot. And now you have to move step by step your focus beam. You have to scan in 3D this, and you can make an image. This is the so-called acousto-optic technique in contrast to photoacoustic. Here, this is an example of what you can obtain, for example, with this kind of technique. You scan a focus ultrasonic beam, and for each position, you make demodulation of the speckle, of the optical speckle, to find what comes from this spot, and you make this step by step. There is a problem in this technique, is that not only the speckle is changing at the ultrasonic frequency, but the light speckle change also because of motion in tissue and blood motion, and the speckle is in tissue naturally changing with typically a time scale of 1 millisecond. And it's made quite complicated to play between the different scale, megahertz, or microsecond for ultrasound, millisecond for internal motion, but this kind of technique can be improved in the future, and this is very interesting technique where you tag light by ultrasound to have a spatial resolution of ultrasound and to see a contrast which is an optical contrast. Now, third technique. A wave produces a movie of another wave, and I call this is the example of transient elastography, for example. How to image elastic property of tissue with millimetric resolution. Now, what kind of mechanical wave you can send in soft tissue, this depends of what is a soft tissue on a mechanical part. And as you know, if you take a very simple model of soft tissue like isotropic solid, it can be defined by a compressibility modulus and a shear modulus. And you know that soft tissue has, in fact, a very huge bulk modulus, typically 1 gigapascal, and the bulk modulus of tissue is practically uniform, fluctuations are very small. But when a doctor makes palpation on tissue, he's feeling the shear modulus, which is a modulus which is strongly heterogeneous in tissue. And typically, a shear modulus is of the order of 1 kilopascal, quite smaller than 1 gigapascal from the bulk modulus. And what is really interesting is that the shear modulus gives you an interesting information that changes when the pathology of an organ changes. If you can make a nice image of shear modulus with very good spatial resolution, you will help a lot the doctor to make good diagnosis. Now, compressional modulus is much higher than shear modulus, and Young modulus for tissue is nothing else than 3 times the shear modulus. That is to say, if you are able to make an image of shear modulus everywhere, you have an image of Young modulus, which is useful for the doctor. Now, because you have 2 kinds of modulus, you have 2 kinds of mechanical wave in tissue, compressional waves and shear wave. What are the speed of these 2 waves? Compressional wave propagate typically at 1,500 meters per second because K is 1 gigapascal. And practically in all tissue, compressional wave has the same propagation speed, except in hard tissue like bones. But in all soft tissue, compressional wave is practically uniform. But shear wave in tissue, they propagate at very low speed because mu is kilopascal. And the speed is typically between 1 and 10 meters per second, which is very different from the compressional wave. This is a unique case where you have 2 kinds of mechanical wave that propagate, one at a speed which is 1,000 times bigger than the other one. And you can use this in a smart way. If you send ultrasound in the body, you can only send compressional wave. Because if you try to send shear wave at frequency like 5 megahertz, you will burn tissue because shear viscosity will kill completely your tissue. You cannot send shear wave in ultrasonic regime. You can send only compressional wave. Don't forget, they propagate without losing their coherence. And typically at 5 megahertz, wavelength is 0.3 millimeter. This is why you have nice image with ultrasound. But these images are poor with because the contrast of K is very poor and not very interesting for the doctor. If you want to send shear wave, you have to work at sonic frequency. Shear wave can propagate in the body at frequency smaller than kilohertz, and typically at 200 hertz, if you have a speed of 1 meter per second, wavelength is 2 centimeters. If you send only shear wave in the body, wavelength is huge. Even shear wave propagate coherently, you have a very bad spatial resolution. How to produce shear wave? One very efficient way is to give punch, and you produce very nice shear wave and also surface wave that propagate on the body. And if you are very muscular, surface wave go very fast. And if you are quite fat, it go very slowly. And you can measure the speed of a shear wave or Rayleigh wave on the body. Another way to produce shear wave is just to be in good form. Cardiac motion creates shear wave continuously that propagate in the body. When I speak, I create also shear wave that propagate along my larynx, and I can use them. And you can also use a trick which is very elegant. You can use ultrasound, what is called ultrasonic radiation force, which is a nonlinear effect that you produce when you push in tissue, sending a long burst of ultrasound. You can locally create small earthquake or body quake in tissue by pushing tissue, and when you relax the pushing, you create shear wave. Now, what is transient elastography? It's a multi-wave approach. You generate, with one of the techniques I present transient low-frequency shear wave, this is one kind of wave, that make some micron amplitude displacement of tissue. And now this shear wave is propagating millimeter by millimeter at speed of 1 meter per second or 5 meter per second. And now you will make an image, a movie of a shear wave if you have a camera that gives you, for example, 5,000 frames per second. If you are such a camera, you can follow millimeter by millimeter a wavefront, a shear wavefront. How to produce so many frames per second? But you can use a second kind of wave to make this image. For example, you can use ultrasound to make a lot of frames per second. And if you are able to do this, by making the movie of a shear wave everywhere, you can compute at each position the shear velocity. And when you have the shear velocity at each position in space, you can deduce mu or Young modulus. Now, we begin by this 15 years ago by doing what we call 1D transient elastography, which was not imaging. It was not imaging. It was just giving punch on the body. We have a small vibrator, just one transducer, ultrasonic transducer, and here one vibrator, and you give a punch on the liver of some patient, just on the skin, not really on the liver. And like this, you produce a shear wave that propagates in the liver at speed between 1 and 5 meters per second. And with a small ultrasonic transducer, you follow the motion of the shear wave. But it is not imaging, it is just a global measurement of the shear velocity, and from this we create a company, EcoSense, that develop a product which is called the FibroScan that measures the degree of fibrosis of the liver. And there is more than 1,000 FibroScan in the world, which is a very nice tool, but it is not an imaging tool. It gives you just a degree of elasticity of the liver, and it is very useful, but it is not imaging. Now, when from this 1D tool that we develop, after we decide to use always the vibrator, but we put an array of transducers. Instead of one transducer, we put 128 transducers. And we begin to play the same game by following a wave in all the body. But this was not very easy to use for the doctor because it's very heavy. And from this, we found another solution that I will present you, where you use only one array of transducers without any push created by a vibrator, but everything will be created by radiation pressure, force, and we make this company, Supersonic Imaging, that creates the so-called explorer. To do transient, this is 2D transient elastography, you need an ultra-fast ultrasound imaging system. When you used ultrasonic array of piezoelectric transducer, typically to make an image, it takes some time because usually what you are doing, you focus a beam somewhere by adjusting all the delay between each pulse that you send from a piezoelectric transducer array. You focus a beam, you listen the echo. It takes some time for ultrasound to come back in tissue. After you create a second beam, a third beam, and to make an image, you have to scan your beam all along the medium. And you create this kind of image. Here, this image, there are very poor contrast, in fact, because the compressibility modulus don't change too much. Here, what you see is the amniotic liquid, and here there is a good contrast, but between two soft tissue, ultrasonic image have very poor contrast. But the spatial resolution is very good. And what you see in all this kind of image with ultrasonic technique is what we call the speckle noise. You have a lot of small speckle everywhere that come from all the small scattering center that you get that give you noise in all the medium. Now, this technique gives you typically 50 frames per second. Now you want to go faster. How to go faster? You will make an image not by sending many line of fire, but you send just one plane wave and very short plane wave. You listen all the echo, and if you have a lot of analog to digital converter after each piezoelectric transducer, and if you have a large memory, you record all the field coming from the medium. And once you have in your memory record all the wave field that come in one shot from the medium, you ask, what is this information? It is not the image. You have to make an image, you have to do mathematically a time reversal operation and a numerical backpropagation in the computer. Because you know that ultrasound has a celerity which is uniform, you know the celerity of ultrasound, you send a plane wave, you record all the echo, and if you have a very fast computer, in the computer you can make a time reversal operation and a backpropagation. It is exactly like what we speak in photoacoustic, how to make an image when you record all the ultrasonic data coming from the medium in photoacoustic. The best way is somewhere to do a time reversal. If you know the sound velocity, it's not too difficult to do this. And once you have done this, you have an image. And in one shot, ultrasonic shot, you can have very high frame rate, 5,000 frames per second or 10,000 frames. It depends just on the time ultrasound go at some depth and come back. And now when you have this kind of device, an ultrasonic array that do, for example, 5,000 frames per second, how to produce with the same transducer array a shear wave, a low frequency shear wave. You can use the same probe with the so-called ultrasonic radiation force, which is nonlinear effect or dissipative effect. First, before you make the movie, you used your probe to focus ultrasound in some spot. And if you send a long burst, typically 100 microsecond burst, you create a force which is in this direction, an axial force, and this force push tissue. And tissue are displaced typically of 10 microns because tissue are soft. And when you stop to push tissue, they come back at equilibrium and you have created a small seismic source, and you create a shear wave. And the same probe can create first the push in the body and after make the movie of the push. Now, what is the bandwidth of the shear wave that you create when you push? When you push with very short time excitation, 100 microsecond excitation. But when you push here, typically the focus of your ultrasonic beam is 1 millimeter large. And when you listen what are the shear waves which are produced by this point which is moving, this position has 1 millimeter of size. And the bandwidth that you generate is not related to the duration of your excitation, it is related to the size of the focal spot of ultrasound. And typically you have a bandwidth of some 100 hertz that you create. These are the shear waves. The frequency of the shear wave that you create in the medium because of the finite size of your push. Even if the push is instantaneous, because the source term has a spatial size, it takes some time. Now, when this shear wave propagates everywhere, you can make a movie of a shear wave in the medium. And this movie, because you have a lot of speckle, the speckle move when the shear wave is pushing tissue. And you can follow the speckle noise and you can look along one line how the speckle move, and you just make a cross-correlation algorithm that gives you from how much the displacement induced by the shear wave. And you can make a full image of the displacement induced by the shear wave in the body. By using cross-correlation algorithm between speckle noise. You have to have an ultra-fast scanner. You have to make cross-correlation between consecutive image, tracking of the speckle, and after it gives you an image of a displacement of a shear wave. If you do this, for example, you send ultrasound in the body. Here, typically, with a classical apparatus, you have 50 frames per second, but suddenly, you make an ultra-fast frame where during 20 milliseconds, you push tissue by using radiation force, and after you make ultra-fast imaging. And when you are doing this, you create this kind of movie where you have induced a shear source in the medium, and you have this movie that is a 20 millisecond movie, and you can look everywhere what is the speed of a shear wave. Here, this is not a very elegant technique because you have created shear wave that come from only one point and the shear wave decreases its amplitude when it's propagated. You can do better. You can do what we call supersonic push. We focus a wave at one point. It creates a shear wave, but now you electronically move your pushing point. And because ultrasound go very fast, the electronic allow you to create a pushing point that is moving at a supersonic velocity. And in this case, all the shear wave add constructively in a Mach cone, like the Mach cone for sound that you produce that give you a very strong sound when a plane has a speed faster than the Mach 1. And here we do the same. We create a pushing point that is moving at a supersonic velocity for shear wave. It creates a Mach cone of shear wave that propagates in the body. Now, this is interesting because when you look here, just an ultrasonic image, the contrast is very poor. This is an image where you have an inclusion which is very hard, like a carcinoma in the breast. But on the speckle image, the doctor make a lot of mistakes. They don't see anything. The contrast can be very poor. But if you produce suddenly an ultrafast movie of a shear wave, you see everywhere a movie, and you see that the wave here changes speed because these shear waves meet here an inclusion where the shear velocity is quite different. And if you make an inversion of this movie, a local inversion that gives you the speed of a shear wave at its position, from this you can obtain this kind of image that gives you in kilopascal the shear modulus at every point. You have no more speckle noise, you have just something which is quantitative and that give you shear information. How to do the inversion algorithm? Well, we do very crude approximation, but it can be quite better because we have a shear wave that locally considers the tissue as uniform, and we measure a movie of a displacement in one direction of a shear wave. And if you do a lot of assumption, because the compressional velocity is very fast compared to the shear velocity, this movie that you obtain is in fact a movie of one displacement in one direction. And from this movie, you can deduce the shear modulus by doing a local inversion if you are able to measure the Laplacian of your field and the second order time derivative. You can find locally a kind of shear modulus. Of course, if you do this in a crude way from your data, you have a lot of noise when you compute second order time derivative and second order spatial derivative. And you have to find tricks to find this local shear modulus. And we developed different tricks with the company that we push on this to measure the shear modulus, but there is a lot of work yet to do to obtain nice shear modulus map. These shear modulus maps are quite interesting. Here, for example, this is an hard inclusion that you have, and you can measure in kilopascal the shear modulus here compared to what you have outside. And here, if there is a liquid cyst, shear waves are not propagating in liquid cyst. And we clearly see on the movie that there is nothing in this zone. And this helps a lot to discriminate liquid from soft solid and to measure the shear elasticity in this case. The ultrafast imaging technology that we used has make a lot of progress, and I want to comment this. Because when we were doing this ultrafast imaging in our lab, we used time reversal prototype, and it was very primitive electronics, and it takes a very long time to do the time reversal processing, and after the cross-correlation, and after the computation of the shear velocity. And once we create this company with very good engineer in hardware and software, they make this apparatus, the Explorer, which is very fast. And what is interesting is the following. When we were using our system in the hospital at Curie Institute, we acquire the data very quickly on a patient, but it takes 45 minutes to compute all the imaging process to make one image. What they do, the company use GPU circuits, and they put in parallel 8 GPU circuits to make a processor, which is a time reversal processor that can go very fast. It can go at the speed of sound, that is to say, at the same time the data are coming in our memory, There are time reverse and back propagate. It gives you the image and the cross correlation, and all this can be very quickly done. And with this technique, you can move your probe and see in real time the shear modulus map superimposed to the classical pulse echo image. And there are interesting, if you look, the lateral resolution and the axial resolution on the shear modulus, remember, shear wave has a very large wavelength, typically 1 or 2 centimeters. But here, if you take a phantom with different elasticity, we have a lateral resolution which is very good and an axial resolution which is very good when you make the shear measurement, velocity measurement. Typically, we have resolution of millimeter. And this is the idea that I showed before. Multi-wave imaging, because it combines two kinds of wave. One is the shear wave that has a very bad spatial resolution but a very interesting contrast. The other is the ultrasonic wave that has a very good spatial resolution but a very bad contrast. When you have your movie, because you have access to all the field inside the medium, this is a unique case where you see the wave in 2D or 3D everywhere. It is like in seismology, you have accelerometer in all the interior of the Earth, and it will allow you to have very nice seismic image. But here we have this by using the second kind of wave. It is like we have accelerometer everywhere in the tissue, but the accelerometer are just the ultra-fast ultrasonic imaging technique. And these are virtual accelerometer. And from this movie, we can have access close to each heterogeneity to the near field of a shear wave close to the heterogeneity. And when we do the inverse algorithm, we have super resolution. Now, applications are, there are many applications. For example, these are on breast. You can find very small carcinoma on breast, for example, where in kilopascal, you are typically 150 kilopascal. And you can detect very small hard inclusion in tissue by using the shear wave. You can also obtain this kind of image. Here, on ultrasound, you see something is wrong, but here you see that it is very hard, tumor is very hard on the boundary, but you see that the interior of the tumor is very soft. And after you can control that here, the tissue was completely necrosed and the tissue has become soft. And you can have access to soft elasticity inside an hard medium, very stiff medium, which is impossible when you do palpation. You cannot feel these kind of things. You can play with this. Well, this is fibroadenoma. You have a very bad ultrasonic image, but you see directly that there is no problem because the shear modulus is quite small, less than 30 kilopascal. And you can completely change the point of view comparing ultrasonic image with shear modulus image. And now there are more than 2,000 breast exam which has been done and compared with this technique that show that when you combine ultrasonic image classical plus the shear modulus image, you obtain a quite better specificity. This can be used for many other things. For example, on liver, if you take different patients which has different liver disease, that is to say different fibrosis or hepatitis, you see different color from these different patients. Each patient has a very different stiffness, and you can follow the stiffness depending on the kind of disease they have, and you can follow the evolution of the therapy that you can propose to them to see if their shear modulus change. Here, it's another liver patient, but here, it's a cancer in the liver, and when you see directly that this zone is very hard inside the liver. Here it's on prostate. You can also use the same concept to make very new image that give a lot of input to the doctor compared to ultrasonic image. And there is a different probe which are going in the world at this time. You can also play with muscle. Muscle are stiff organ and you can change the elasticity by contracting your muscle. And here, it depends what you are doing, but you see that suddenly this part of the muscle become very hard. Another part, you can play with this and you can follow how is working different kind of muscle. And of course, you can do this for cardiac. and there is a lot of effort on this. But now something is important. I tell you that the shear velocity depends on the shear modulus in this way. This is only true in homogeneous medium where you have bulk waves that propagate. In fact, when you look carefully, shear wave that you send in tissue, because you send a lot of broadband of shear wave between frequency of 10 Hz to 1 kilohertz, in fact, you can look what is the shear wave velocity in tissue. And what you found is that, in fact, the model that I describe here is quite wrong. This is a good model when you have a medium without dissipation. But all of you know that tissue are viscoelastic medium. There are viscosity. And when you have viscosity, you have relaxation time, mechanical relaxation time in tissue. You apply the stress, and the strain is not instantaneous. It takes some time before it comes. And when you apply a sinusoidal stress, depending if your relaxation time is bigger than the period of your oscillation, tissue has time to follow or not to follow. And in fact, the shear velocity depends not only of mu, but of viscosity and of frequency. There is shear wave dispersion. And when you have guided wave, there is a mistake here, you have also shear wave dispersion. For example, take liver, send shear wave in liver, and compare what you have at 3 points when you have created a push in the liver. You see a wave that has this shape in the time domain at point A. At point B, it has this shape. At point C, this shape. And you see that not only you have a propagation of a Mach cone wave, but you see that there is a deformation of this wave when it propagates. It's not, that is to say you have dispersion. If you look at the bandwidth of your wave, there are some dispersion in the medium, and you can measure frequency by frequency what is the speed of a shear wave. And you can find that, in fact, in liver, there is dispersion relation. At 100 Hz or at 400 Hz, the shear wave speed is quite different. And this gives you an information on viscosity. I will not go too much on this. You can compare different medium with different viscosity, and you can, in the future, we hope to make image of viscosity property of tissue. What is the good viscoelastic model in tissue? This is not clear. Voigt model and Maxwell model are in competition to explain what is the dependence of shear velocity in living tissue with frequency. And in fact, when we do this in vivo, we found that Voigt and Maxwell model are not exactly the good one. And till now, there is not enough data in vivo on what is the good viscoelastic model to know what it is. And we hope that with this tool, we can help people to find what are the good viscoelastic model for tissue. I will not speak of this, this is a carotid artera. When you are sending shear wave by making a push, you have wave which is very dispersive because, in fact, you send in the artera a guided wave, and in fact, it's a wave in vivo which is very, this is frequency in this direction, and it is a wave which has a velocity that depends on frequency in a very strange way. And we found this in all patients, and it's helped to do carotid investigation of the elasticity. I will conclude on this, and perhaps I will show you just one movie at the end. If you want to know more on multi-wave imaging, we wrote with my colleague Michael Tanter an article in Physics Today last year, and we explain all this story. And in fact, here I present you photoacoustic, acousto-optic, and after transient elastography, but there are many other ways to combine two kinds of waves. And there is a lot of work on this multi-wave imaging for the next years. And I just want to finish by something quite new that we have done. It is the observation of another kind of wave in tissue and in the brain by using the technique that we develop. We have developed this ultra-fast imaging technique. It was interesting to follow shear wave motion in tissue. But what we have done recently was the following. we have developed an ultra-fast imaging Doppler technique. That is to say, because we can have 10,000 frames per second, we can follow very small blood flow in tissue. Because when you average 100 of ultrasonic frame, if you have such a huge amount of frame rate, you can improve the measurement of Doppler effect, and you can improve the sensitivity of what is the smallest flow that you can detect by doing Doppler analysis. If you have 10,000 frames per second, by doing cross-correlation between different frames, you can not only follow shear wave, but you can also follow blood flow. And we developed this technology that we applied directly on mouse brain, and this is the so-called power Doppler. It shows you the activity in the brain, what is the mean blood flow that you have in the brain. And if you make this kind of image, you observe on this ultrasonic image at ultra-fast rate, you observe cortical colons in the brain. But something is really more interesting, it's the following. Now, because you have this ultra-fast frame rate that you can have on brain, it gives you an ultra-sensitive blood flow imaging system. And here, it's a mouse. We create an epilepsy by injecting some product in the mouse. And here, I just want to show you a movie that we obtain directly with ultra-fast ultrasound. And this movie, it takes typically 1,000 seconds. We have created an epilepsy crisis, but because of the ultra-fast possibility for Doppler and the ultra-sensitive Doppler, we can follow the blood flow activity of the brain. And when you do this, you can see that there are very slow waves that are propagating in the brain. These are chemical waves that are created, but that you can follow with this tool. These are very slow waves that are chemical waves that propagate typically at speed of some millimeter by minutes. But by using this ultra-fast ultrasonic tool, we can obtain this kind of movie that can give perhaps some interesting information in the future. I will conclude on this. Multi-wave imaging has a big future, and I think there are a lot of mathematical problems to improve the inversion algorithm to be solved. Thank you for your interest.